The home of inspiration every day.
Most people give up on themselves easily. You know the human spirit is powerful.
From news.
Countries across the globe have been hit by the COVID-19 virus.
Views.
There's a global trend to see an increase in GBV incidences, specifically domestic violence.
Sports.
What do you say? It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
And music to inspire you every day. This is Vuga Online, your inspiration radio station.
It was a Wednesday afternoon, May 2013. I had just finished a cup of tea and I was washing my cup. When my dad's friend's nephew walked into the kitchen, they were staying with us at the time. Next thing I know, he was grabbing me from behind and he was trying to drag me out of the kitchen to his bedroom. We were fighting and he dragged me all the way through the passage. I held on to doors, but he was just too strong. And this was not the first time it had happened. But I thought I would just fight him off easily like I used to do every other time. But this time it was different. And he was just there. His hands were everywhere, his fingers, he was just all over me, and it went on for a while and we were struggling, and I tried to push him off, but nothing worked. And I thought that I had done something to provoke him. People think that something must have happened for it to happen. But all that happened was I made a cup of tea in my own home.
If you found this hard to listen to, imagine how hard it was to say. That's why at Rape Crisis, we have a 24-hour crisis line with free counseling. So if you can't speak to anyone, speak to us at 021-447-9762. And if you want to help, donate now. Visit rapecrisis.org.za.
The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is a professional development center for professionals who aim to improve their professional standing. This means that the learning programs we run are more than just academic programs. They are work-based programs that focus on leveraging your current experience as a professional to build your overall profile. A year down the line, the Africa Center for Work-Based Learning is developing into a preferred center for professional development in Pretoria, with 8 professional development faculties including accounting, teaching, entrepreneurship, as well as IT and many more. For more information, go to acwbl.org or dial +27 12 751 7608. The Africa Center for Work-Based Learning, where work is learning.
Because they, as soon as the weather starts going into 20 degrees, they wear boots.
I know, they're like, it's cold now.
Yes. Anyway, good to connect with you again. Welcome to Vuga Online Radio. And I have, as you know, Michelle Donnelly again. Usually around this time every year, we start talking. Well, we talk mental health every time on Vuga because it's an important topic for us to talk about, especially now. But before we talk about psychosocial disability, mm-hmm. I'm curious. Woke up this morning, it felt like everybody is just going through a hard time. It feels like there is this whole tension in the air. But then when I look in the world and I look almost everywhere, it's almost like everybody's at their tether's end. What is your sense in the community, in the mental health management community, about where we are as people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Morning to your listeners as well.
I think you're completely correct. I don't think there's any country in the world right now whose mental health is in the best place. I think, you know, something we've been looking at work, even like once the war with Ukraine started, we were looking at like the impacts of war and mental health, and we're rolling out that series soon. But even just the past 2 weeks for load shedding, you know, we as an organization took it upon ourselves, and our board approved a mental health day for our organization last week, Monday. And, you know, the idea of the day was to really focus on what makes you feel good, and how you can focus on your mental health. Because something that I think I've mentioned on your show before, but it's something we like to reiterate, is that, you know, mental health and mental illness are very different. And we need to take care of our mental health just like we take care of our physical health. So just as we would exercise and try and eat properly, and, you know, go to the gym for our physical health, we need to do similar things for our mental health. And so on that day, each employee was tasked with, you know, finding what it is that works for them. And so my day looked like what helps me in my mental health, which is going for a walk, journaling, just eating food that makes me feel good, and sitting in stillness, which are things we really try to promote. And last week, there was actually an article that was released on The Conversation, which is a academic kind of website where academics share research. And it was a study done in Denmark. And it was saying that even if you just believing that you can do something to better your mental health, believing that, you know, if I journal, this is going to make me feel better, that actually leads to better mental health. And again, you know, we want to make sure that we're taking care of our mental health before it deteriorates into a mental illness. So yeah, you're completely correct. I think there's no one who is like, oh yes, life is so grand right now, because unfortunately, even if your personal life might look okay, you can't ignore the economic and societal impacts that impact on our daily lives. And as South Africans, I mean, we are dealing with a lot at the moment.
Yeah, that's fascinating. The month of July marks Psychosocial Disability Awareness Month. And as we have already started, I am with Michelle Donnelly, as always, from the South African Federation of Mental Health. And we're talking today, psychosocial disability. Sometimes, I'm going to be naughty here. Sometimes I feel like we're actually making up names for these things. Why does it sound like it's the first time I'm hearing about psychosocial disability awareness? What is that?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, you're not one of the only people. You know, psychosocial disability remains one of the most challenging and misunderstood areas of disability, even to this day. So if we're looking at psychosocial disability, it really is about looking at the barriers to full participation caused by the ways in which a person might think, feel, or interact with others. But how I can try and explain that this is that in disability, there are two models of disability that's recognized by the World Health Organization. So you get the social model and the medical model. Now, the medical model of disability talks about, especially if you're looking at psychosocial disability, it talks about the psychiatric disability. So focusing on how medically defined symptoms related to a mental health diagnosis impacts on a person and how these may be treated. Then when you look at the social model, when you're talking about psychosocial disability, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability uses the term psychosocial disability, and they separate it for you. So the word is derived from a psychology, so how people understand their experiences, emotions, feelings, and the world around them, and b social, so how people view persons with mental health conditions and what their society deems to be normal. So, you know, psychosocial disability, we put it together, and it really refers to the economic and social impacts mental illness can have on someone. For example, their ability to earn money, how they have relationships with their family and friends, how they're able to experience the environment around them. And it describes the challenges experienced by a person due to their mental health condition, which affects their ability to participate fully in life. And it's really important, you know, when we're talking about psychosocial disability, that not everyone with the mental illness will have a psychosocial disability, but it really comes into play when you look at how a person navigates their social environments and how it hinders their sense of equality in comparison to other people.
And are there any, I hear that, and it makes sense now when you talk about it in that way, because I think there's also something there around what we are not paying attention to, right? That says, forget the fact that there's a medical disability as far as people are concerned. And that's kind of like how we start seeing them as people mm-hmm. that have this disability. So this is their label. But then it then translates from what I'm understanding from what you're saying into how we then also treat people, how we also accommodate people, how we also create spaces for people with the psychosocial disability to be in place. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that people with a psychosocial disability are facing right now, especially with the, well, we are not post-COVID yet, but.
Mm. I think when it comes to it, you know, just over all these years, and it's something that we see across, you know, disabilities, but when it comes to psychosocial disability, especially, stigma remains a major barrier. You know, it is a major cause of discrimination and exclusion. It affects people's self-esteem, it disrupts relationships, and it limits their ability to socialize. And then when you're looking at stigma, it can lead to then lost opportunity with regards to employment and education. It can also hinder access to basic human rights and healthcare. The American Psychiatric Association outlines a few harmful effects of stigma. So I'm just going to touch on a few of them. But, you know, it can then impact on a reluctance for people to go and seek help or treatment. Social isolation, you know, you have a lack of understanding by family and friends and coworkers, trouble finding housing, harassment or bullying, you know, and then there's this belief that a person's never going to be able to succeed or they can't improve their situation. And, you know, when it comes to stigma, it's, you know, a lot of studies and research shows that while people may be accepting of a medical diagnosis of a mental health disorder, many people still have a negative view of persons who are diagnosed with a mental illness. So yeah, stigma is something that we are really focused on continuously. It's what we do in our work. It's like, how do we reduce stigma? Because it remains a major barrier.
Yeah. You are on Vuga Online Radio, and we are talking psychosocial disability and creating awareness around it in the month of July, as we usually do around this time. What then do you want the listeners to pay attention to this year? Because there's always about some kind of a theme or some kind of a conversation mm-hmm. that we are supposed to be focusing on. What should we be paying attention to this year?
Yeah, so this year, so Psychosocial Disability Awareness Month is celebrated every July. So every year in July, that's when we run these campaigns. And this year, we're looking at the theme, In My Own Words. So we're focusing on self-advocacy and storytelling to amplify the voices of mental health care users with the aim of highlighting the need for inclusion and acceptance. And again, what I was saying earlier, which is reducing stigma. So in the support of the theme of self-advocacy, we are highlighting the importance of storytelling and the need to amplify the voices of mental health care users in the fight against continued stigma and discrimination. So one of the things we're asking is that people will share their stories with us, because when persons with mental illness, including those with psychosocial disability, share their stories, you know, research proves that it can have a positive impact on how the rest of society perceives them. So it's our hope that a platform for different voices to be heard and acknowledged.
What are some of the things that from the Federation of Mental Health, South African Federation of Mental Health, are you guys doing to reinforce the initiative? What should we be on the lookout for? Where should we go? Where do we send these stories? Mm-hmm. And how are they going to be used? Sorry, thousands of questions.
That's okay. No, completely understand them. And thank you for asking. So this year, we're asking that you know, we're calling for all persons with lived experience of mental health conditions. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a diagnosed psychosocial disability. But if you have lived experience of a mental health illness, you can share your story with us in any medium you choose. So whether you're writing a short story, whether you want to ask to be interviewed, you have a piece of artwork that expresses how you're feeling or your story, you want to write a poem, you know, anything you feel comfortable with, please do send your submissions through to myself at michelle@safmh.org. And all contributions are going to be compiled into a digital magazine, which we're going to publish on our website in August 2022. So yeah, we're really just hoping that, you know, we're going to take these stories. Again, we want to be a platform for persons to share their stories and to share their, it's an opportunity for them to be their own self-advocates, because people with lived experience are the experts when it comes to psychosocial disability. You know, we don't need another campaign where we're calling for more resources. We're calling for more financing. We need people who understand what's going on and who live with this on a daily basis to say, this is my story. And by doing that, we're going to, you know, break barriers of stigma and try and include an understanding overall of psychosocial disability.
I know that you kind of touched a little bit on it at the beginning, but for those who maybe would like a direct response to this, what would be one or two examples of what a psychosocial disability looks like? So what would I see that tells me that this is a psychosocial disability?
Sure. So it could be, you know, something like someone being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and they don't have access to private medical aid. And then it's just looking at how they would then navigate the public sector. And that could be a psychosocial disability, because again, you know, it describes the challenges that people that's being experienced by a person due to their mental health condition. So yeah, that would be an example. Again, another example would be someone who lives with schizophrenia, and they are not able to, they're not able to disclose that they live with schizophrenia because of fear of being discriminated against in, you know, getting employed. So this is how we're looking at barriers and functional impacts on persons with mental illness. So that's also an example of a psychosocial disability. So it's really, again, how, if you are diagnosed with a mental health condition, how you navigate spaces, how the social environment that we live in impacts on that mental illness for you. So yeah, again, it's different for each person, but those are kind of examples, if that makes sense.
But Michelle, I know I always ask you difficult questions sometimes, but what if I don't know? What if because we're talking now about diagnosed people, what if I don't know? I deal with so many people many times, and I listen to some of the stuff they're going through, and I go like, you know, this sounds like there could be a bit of a challenge that you probably need to get a diagnosis on. But I would never really say that, because that also is not necessarily the right way to deal with it. So what if people don't know? What do we do?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you know, we're not clinicians, essentially. Yes. But something that we do in our advocacy work is just to say that if you aren't feeling well, if you can clearly see that you're struggling with things that you didn't find an issue with maybe a year ago, you know, you feel like you're constantly stressed, for example, and you're feeling down for long periods of time. You know, this is why we advocate for people to take care of their mental health, because only you can know when you're not feeling mentally well. It's like, it's how you say, if you feel a pain in your stomach, you don't expect someone to just sit there feeling stabbing pains the whole time you go to the doctor. But you would only know that you're experiencing these stabbing pains. Again, with your mental health, if you're constantly feeling really tired, if you're feeling like you're not able to see a future, if you're not feeling mentally fit the way you usually do, if you're struggling to do the things you usually do, Well, we always say go and ask and seek help. That's the first thing you do. Speak to someone and seek help, because only once you have a diagnosis are you able to actively do something about how you're feeling. And, you know, sometimes we find, again, you know, I could have a stabbing pain in my stomach and I go to the doctor and all I needed was antibiotics. The same with mental health. You know, you can find that you might be struggling for a short period of time, but just speaking to someone, you know, we have free counseling services that are offered by, you know, people like Lifeline as well as SADAG. And you can find that just speaking to someone helps. Then it might be something more. If I have a stomach problem and I need an operation, you know, same thing with your mental health. If you're feeling down and speaking to someone doesn't help, that's when you see a psychiatrist and a psychologist and you go into the system. But yeah, everything works differently for people. But the only thing we can say is please do seek help.
And this is South Africa, right? So the whole conversation around race always comes through. Do you find there's a difference in terms of perceptions of psychosocial disability between races, for example, in the white environments as opposed to in the townships, for example?
Yeah, I think something that we have seen over many years and we continue to see is just, again, like you said, it's perception and how stigmatized talking about mental health and mental health conditions are in different communities. And again, it comes back to just there not being a real understanding. And then it's like looking at how different communities will then address certain issues so that there's an understanding. And that's why we talk really about being a self-advocate. You know, if someone with mental health illness or someone with a psychosocial disability feels comfortable in the community to speak up about it, that's how we create an understanding. You know, if we think about the story of Justina Sangweni from Soweto in 2021, you know, she was accused of witchcraft, but she actually was living with schizophrenia, and unfortunately, you know, she passed away. Yeah. And it just showed a lack of awareness again surrounding mental illness and how dangerous and even fatal the lack of awareness can be. So this is why we talk about ending stigma. So I think we need to end stigma across all communities, but it only starts with people in those communities coming up and sharing their stories. And that's how we create a shared understanding. And that's how we improve mental health for all.
And that's what makes this project quite important, right? Because now the more there are these stories that are being told and people share, it gives it a human face. I'm reading on your page, I wish people understood it a bit more. I wish people weren't so scared of it. And I wish people knew that she's talking here, Janine, about bipolar, which is one of those mental health issues that are completely misunderstood, because when they present pretty normal, as if it's somebody who is just very hyper. And then the next moment, the next few weeks, they are down in the dumps. And we're thinking, well, she's fine. And then she's crazy. And then we laugh about it and we say, she's crazy. But essentially, at that point, it's somebody who is living with bipolar. Janine continues to say, I wish people knew that someone with bipolar is doing the best they can under the circumstances. And sometimes I just feel like maybe it would have been easier if I had a terminal illness, because I would get more sympathy and more understanding than I do when I have this illness. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the example of some of the stories you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I think we talk to a lot of people who say that having a mental illness can come across, because it, especially a psychosocial disability, it's sometimes invisible. You know, people go, oh, you have a disability because you're in a wheelchair, when we see a physical disability. But, you know, when you're having a psychosocial disability or more mental disability, it's not as obvious. And so people don't have the same empathy towards it. And that's why you find a lot of people be like, oh, you know, if I had cancer, I would be taken more seriously. I would have more sympathy. I would have more resources accessible to me, because it's less stigmatized. And that's what we talk about when it comes to mental illness. And that's why stigma is so important. And I think that's why this campaign is really important, because we want to put across that self-advocacy is really one of the most important tools to ending stigma. And storytelling is a very persuasive and significant tool for self-advocacy.
Just wrapping it up on VUGA Online Radio, and we are talking psychosocial disability, mental health. When we are kind of looking at issues of mental health, and we are with Michelle Donnelly of the South African Mental Health Federation, and she is talking about some of the challenges and obviously invitations for people to start sharing. Let come out of the closet, in a sense, as far as this is concerned. But obviously, as we discussed, it means you probably need to know yourself first what's going on, which means the encouragement, get diagnosed. If something doesn't look like it's right, pay attention to your body, pay attention to your mind. As a friend of mine always say, mind your mind. And if it feels like things are not correct or not going the way they are supposed to, visit a mental health expert, or otherwise they can consult. They can contact SAFMH, right?
Yes, they definitely can. You know, we have a help desk where we receive many inquiries, and whether we are facilitating, you know, some legal expertise, legal help, or just helping you find a community-based organization in your area, you reach out to our info desk and we will help you as best as possible.
Yeah, and many times I have young people who get in touch with me, and I could sense that they are going through something, and some of them really give the sense that they could be in a long-term mental health challenge, as opposed to just the short-term stress that they're going through with an exam or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that also a good place to refer them when that is happening?
Yes, 100%. Like I said, our help desk is very good at referrals as well. So once we get an inquiry, we look at, you know, who's best placed to deal with it, and then we share our referrals. So whether it's sending you to SADAG or Lifeline, or again share counselors in your area or the closest community-based mental health organization.
Yeah, and to close, I think we spoke that last year about the role of government in this thing. How is that going?
Yeah, so again, you know, this year one of the things that we are calling for is that we really want the South African government to commit to launching a refreshed mental health policy framework and strategic plan, because our national policy framework lapsed in 2020. And this time we really hope that it's drafted in close collaboration with mental health care users, as well as advocacy organizations, to ensure that barriers faced in destigmatizing mental illness is comprehensively addressed. And we also call for purposeful commitment from the government to listen to the stories of persons with psychosocial disability, so that they can hear exactly how their needs need to be met. And this should hopefully lead to improved quality of care, as well as increasing access to care. Because I think once the government actually hears from people on the ground, you know, the policies need to be created by people who access them, because they're the ones who can say whether it's working or not. And so there really needs to be that cross-sectoral collaboration, but also the government needs to hear these stories, work in collaboration. But one of the things we are definitely calling for, again, is for a commitment to refreshing the mental health policy framework and strategic plan. It is really necessary.
Great place to leave it at. Psychosocial Disability Awareness Month is celebrated annually in July. And for 2022, as Michelle has been saying, the South African Federation for Mental Health is running a theme, In My Own Words, which is focusing on self-advocacy and storytelling to amplify the voices of mental health care users, with the aim of highlighting the need for inclusion, acceptance, and reducing stigma. And if you want to participate in this and send some of your stories, and I think, Michelle, some of your contacts are also on the website at www.safmh.org. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You go to our website and you'll find, especially if you go to our press tab, and then you will find the Psychosocial Disability Awareness Call, and then you can send your information to myself.
Excellent. Michelle, thank you so much for continuously helping us create this awareness across the country and across the world.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you again for helping us spread our message. We really appreciate it.
Excellent. Have a lovely one.
You too.
The home of inspiration every day.
Most people give up on themselves easily. You know the human spirit is powerful.
From news.
Countries across the globe have been hit by the COVID-19 virus.
Views.
There's a global trend to see an increase in GBV incidences, specifically domestic violence.
Sports.
What do you say? It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
And music to inspire you every day. This is VUGA Online, your inspiration radio station.